I've spent the last couple of days trying to work out if there was a way in which I could avoid speaking about the referendum. The results have dominated television and newspaper reports, so perhaps there's no avoiding it. Why did I want to avoid it? Because I know that within those sitting here are those who range from absolutely delighted with the result to absolutely terrified about what is coming. For some, the result of the referendum is the very best thing that could happen. It responds to the hope that we control our own borders, laws, trade and finances and don't have to listen to a wide community. For others, this is now a period of great unsettlement, that having survived the years of recession, there's now a new turmoil. People who work for European companies with bases in the UK who will now have to wait patiently, watch negotiations until their employers decide where they want to be. Non-UK nationals whose lives are now tied to family and friends in the UK. In all of these emotions, we have to face the future. And perhaps the question today is, how are we going to face the future and what will it hold for us now? We could continue our celebrations or mourning, always looking at the past and wondering what the alternative future would be like. We could allow the decision to continue to divide us, or we live in the present we now have and work out how we reconcile our differences and step boldly forward. Our gospel reading tells us that Jesus was set for Jerusalem, and in that statement is summed up the hope of our faith. The destination we aim for as Christian people is to be in the presence of God. And when we hear that Jesus is set for Jerusalem, then we should know that he is heading to be in the presence of God. Physically, for the Jews at the time of Jesus, Jerusalem represented the home of the divine presence. Its ornate and ordained temple was a place of pilgrimage for those celebrating festivals. To head to Jerusalem was to head home to the shelter and care of the Lord. Spiritually, Jerusalem is when we know we have found ourselves in the presence of God. So set to return to God, Jesus and the disciples know they will have to make a stop on their journey, and they plan to do so in a Samaritan village. They're not made welcome, and the disciples ask Jesus if they should destroy the village. Jesus rebukes them. The disciples' question is not quite as daft as it seems. It was, and maybe should still be, an obligation to offer hospitality to the stranger. Earlier in the same chapter, Jesus told the disciples that when they go out to spread the word of all that is happening, they should shake the dust from their feet of the villages that do not welcome them. So if you've been told that, is that not exactly what you think you should do when you're not made welcome? But here we're told Jesus rebukes them for even suggesting it. Set for Jerusalem, Jesus is moving towards the fulfillment of prophecy. We're to sense the urgency. There's no time for messing about. But it's the next bit of the story that really suggests there's no time for hanging around. In three conversations, Jesus explains what discipleship is and what it expects of those who follow you. Summed up briefly, these are the three conversations. I will follow you. Well, it's not very comfortable. Follow me. I've got to bury my father. Let those who are spiritually dead deal with that. The spiritually alive proclaim the kingdom. I will follow you, but I need to say goodbye first. There's no time for looking back. Sounds like Jesus is trying to put people off. Discipleship's hard. It's not about hanging around and waiting. There's work to be done. Ensuring that people know they have a place at the heart of God cannot wait. Caroline Lewis, writing on Working Preacher, says, "Every moment has to count since God made the decision to become one of us. Jesus' call is not an incentive, please, to abandon what is important to us, who matter to us, make a difference for us. Jesus' call to let go is a promise. That God becoming human means that moments matter, time makes a difference, and even seconds matter to God. Why? Not for the sake of your service alone, but for the sake of your being in the kingdom God imagines. Every moment matters because every one of us matters." If every moment matters, then Galatians offers a reminder of how we're to live as those who found freedom in God. Freedom in God is not about selfishness, but instead about valuing what we meet of God in others and living lives of love. If we really believe that we have found our freedom in our experience of God through faith, then that should be marked by how we treat others. Freedom in God values all that God has made, and particularly our neighbours. I suspect that the reading from Galatians is the one that speaks to us most this weekend. We live in a new future. We're being offered an opportunity to explore our identity of what makes us part of the United Kingdom. That offers a freedom to think about the values that matter to us as a community. As Christian people, the values of faith have to lie at the heart of the choices we make and the lives we lead. Faith shaped by the story and the experience of Jesus means recognising that we have a responsibility and a duty of care for each other and for the vulnerable of our community and our world. I think both of our readings this morning tell us that there's no point backbiting. We can't change what's happened. We have to move forward. We have to do that together. If we're to play our part in shaping the community, then we need to set aside our prejudices, our self-indulgences, our fractious thoughts, and instead attempt to bring out the best in each other, always looking for Christ's image in the face of another. Amen.